Pitter patter.
Let's get at her.
Hey there, Christy. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad. Welcome back to A Thinking Person's Guide to Letterkenny. We're here to discuss Season 4, Episode 3, Way to a Man's Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So how are you doing these days?
Good. We had a week off. Last weekend... Our lives got a little busy. My sister returned home from college, and the two of us got our second vaccine shots.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we dealt with some of the side effects that some people do. Still completely worth it. Very happy to be on our way to full inoculation.
Yeah, a week out now. Yeah, it did slow us down a little bit, gave us a pause for a couple days,
mm-hmm.
but nothing dramatic. And yeah, then you got, like you said, you got to catch up with your sister. So that was a nice little sidelight. But now we're back at it, and we're hoping to catch up. We'll try to break off some episodes and release them as one single episodes from the program. And give you guys a little more flexibility with regards to time. We've heard some feedback.
Yeah, we decided that instead of doing two episodes per podcast, we'll just do single episodes. So, yeah, like you said, greater flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I guess, will have maybe it'll be a little bit easier to figure out, I don't know, which episode or where you are in the podcast. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying this different format. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. We're flexible.
Yeah.
So shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So as per usual, we'll start with the intro. Wayne holding the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Not normally usual that he always has a dog, but this time he does. And
mm-hmm.
a big one at that. His boy, Gus.
Oh, yeah. That's Gus in this one.
Yeah.
Usually it's one of the German Shepherds.
Yeah. More often than not. But mm-hmm. this time it's Gus. And he says, you're finishing up your chore the other day. And then we cut to the produce stand.
Mm-hmm.
And what proceeds from there is a fairly protracted recitation upon the word moist.
Yes. Yes.
Which, you're probably aware is some people, the bane of some people's
people
existence.
Get real upset about that word moist.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bother me that much.
Do you have any words that do stand out to you as problematic?
Yes, but not for reasons, not because of the way they sound, but I don't like when men use the C word. That upsets me.
Mm-hmm.
So in a totally different way than when people use the word moist. That doesn't really bother me.
Right, that's not the same.
That's not the same. No, I don't have problems with...
let me reframe the question. Do you have any issues with words and their pronunciation? Their sound?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. So this episode is not really geared toward people like us when it comes to the wordplay.
No.
Still enjoyable, though.
Yeah. Right. Because Katie registers her reservations about the word moist.
Right.
And the boys proceed then to incorporate the word moist or something like it in pretty much every context in which they can possibly imagine.
Yes.
Although they don't exhaust themselves because, as we know...
No, because we get round two
round two comes up later on. But did any of those stand out to you in any particular way?
Just the last one that Wayne says. I mean, it's hard to keep up with them when they go on these. This is a puntacular episode. And so when they go on these pun explorations... they're funny and they're hard to, I don't think it makes sense for us to try and keep track of all of them. But yes, the ones that stand out, definitely. So the only one that stood out to me was when we go back to Wayne at the end of the open, he says, this is brought to you by the three Moisketeers.
Yeah.
Did any stand out to you?
No, that was the only one that I actually recalled it to any degree. So yeah, they're fun. Nevertheless, it's good times. So from there we go to scene 1. We're outside Modine's 2,
mm-hmm.
and we're introduced to new characters. people we've never seen before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Turns out they're two Native women. Mm-hmm. We learn their names later as Shyla and Shania. Mm-hmm. But at the time, we don't know exactly what's going on any more than they're selling cigarettes outside the bar. And
two kids.
Two children, you're right.
Yeah.
And they encounter a D-gen, mm-hmm. a rather large fellow that they refer to as an ogre. Mm-hmm. and they say to him, you can tell Shrek we said hello.
Try not to fuck the donkey.
Yeah. they're pretty mouthy.
Yeah, they're good. People, yeah. They have good... they can talk some shit.
Yeah, yeah, they're chirping. Chirping.
Yeah, they're chirping.
And we see two characters we did know before. The two native mm-hmm. guys that previously had been around with Tannis.
Yeah, Slash and Axe.
So, yeah, and they're evidently now with these two new women. And they sort of run the D-gen off to some degree, or at least he goes in the bar at 11 a.m. to start drinking.
Right.
And then we see Katie, who basically gives them... comeuppance for selling cigarettes to children, as you noted previously. They give her a raft of shit in return, and to which she basically replies, use her deep shit.
Yeah, because she knows that
she's gonna
sort this out.
Ain't gonna go very far.
Yeah.
Right? So then scene two, we cut to the gym, mm-hmm. and we encounter once again Dax and Ron, the two fellows that we met in the previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And they're chirping once again. Mm-hmm. Directly at the hockey boys, Riley and Jonesy.
Yep.
And giving them giving them both barrels, so to speak.
That was good.
Thanks.
And it's a different, because prior to this scene, anytime that we had seen Dax and Ron chirping at Jonesy or Riley, Jonesy and Riley were separate. Yeah. And both of those episodes ended with each of them saying, oh, I miss my buddy.
Yeah.
Right? And so now they're getting the chirping from Dax and Ron to Jonesy and Riley, partners to partners. Mm-hmm. And I really like Jonesy and Riley's response.
Which is that, this is the best chirping they've ever heard. they're pretty much, as chirpers themselves, they're well impressed with these guys' ability to wield. And again, they're using lots of puns and metaphors in their...
So much hockey and mm-hmm. just a lot of... Yeah. And I like that Dax and Ron are surprised that Jonesy and Riley are impressed by their chirping. They say, you're not supposed to enjoy getting catcalled.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're a little put off initially. Right. But it resolves itself because they realize, game recognized game, so to speak. And they end up being fast friends.
Yeah, they decide that they can be friends, which is mm-hmm. really fun.
Right.
We do learn a new term.
Right, otter, mm-hmm. not Cal State Monterey.
No, otters. No, not those. But skinny, hairy dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otters.
Yeah. And that scene ends with Riley and Jonesy being impressed that they're, made some new friends and that mm-hmm. they're happy to have them. They also make an enigmatic statement that they have to get in touch with Katie Cat.
Mm-hmm.
And, but before they even do that, then before they turn around, Dax and Ron are on to chirping to someone else.
Right.
We don't see initially, but when we do, we see it's them giving the same business that they gave to Riley and Jonesy to Tyson and Joint Boy, who are not nearly as receptive.
I think we can imagine that conversation goes slightly differently.
Right, but it doesn't seem to bother Dax and Ron.
They're going to chirp at somebody else. Yeah, no big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just doing their thing.
Yeah,
so, right?
I like them so much. Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun. Nice addition. So scene three, we cut to the produce stand. And now we've got Tannis has joined the hick crew there. And she then explains that the people we met before, Shania and Shyla, mm-hmm. who they are, the two newest strays on the res, as she describes
Tannis calls them.
Yeah. And that they've stole Axe and Slash mm-hmm. from her.
Not cool.
Right? And so then they go on another rambling discourse mm-hmm. Around the word snatch.
Yes, another
because they plan to snatch the boys away from Shyla and Shania.
Mm-hmm.
But then that allows them to go, yeah, puntacular again.
Yeah, I believe it's, is it Tanis is the one who doesn't like the word snatch.
She doesn't appreciate yeah. that, yeah.
So all right. of the guys dig in with their snatch references. There's a bit of a... I have a bit of a reaction to that, but not for the way it's said, but more the connotations. So,
the term snatch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I might react similarly.
Snatch as a noun or as a verb?
As a noun.
Right.
Yeah.
Which they were using as a verb.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Thank you.
Yes.
For clarifying. That's why I said.
Is saying.
It's the connotation, so it's not the way it's said. Mm-hmm. It's the things that it brings up in its usage. So.
Right. And I got at that point by saying with referring to the specific part of the English language it is. When it's a noun, you have reservations about it. As you do with the C word. What C word is that, by the way?
Moving on, Wayne says, you know, it's about time. Been wondering when we're gonna have the next scrap,
right?
So there, the whole discussion about going to the res to snatch back Slash and Axe will hopefully give Wayne another scrap. He hasn't had one in a while, and Katie says you're going to have to. You know, they have a lot of people. You're going to have to call in some favors. And at that point, Jonesy and Riley roll in. Mm-hmm. And Wayne says, I think I'll just holler one.
Right. So they enlist those boys to help them mm-hmm. out. When they go to the res for the cookout that Tanis right. is putting on.
Yeah, she has made it very clear that, you know, the way to a man's heart is not through his zipper, but through his stomach.
Uh-huh.
And so she is going to get Axe and Slash back by... her wonderful cooking.
Right.
Which hence the two girls don't have.
Hence the title of the episode, Way yeah. to a Man's Heart.
Yeah.
Right. Which is a classic saying.
Yeah.
Right. It's yeah. through his stomach.
One of my favorite lines from the whole episode came at the end of this scene.
Do tell.
To the res, pink dicks.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that phrase at all or no?
No, you seem to want to. Go ahead.
Well, earlier you asked me, why do you think she said pink dicks? And my response was, because all the guys that she was talking to were white.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she's referring to the fact that they, as white men, could possibly have pink dicks.
Mm.
Because the only pink dick I've ever seen was on a white man.
Okay. Well, but I have no idea what sample size we're talking about here, but and I haven't really color coded the penises I've seen, but I'm gonna.
Oh, I think if you saw a pink one, it would stand out.
Yeah,
but we have made it very clear that you do not examine the dicks that you see in the world.
No, I don't have a lot of curiosity when it comes to that part of the male anatomy.
Yeah, so.
Maybe I'm just the minority here. Maybe
I think you might be. I don't know.
Maybe there seems to be a much more greater fascination for it than I present. More power to you.
All right, anyway.
To them.
To the res, pink dicks.
Yeah, as Tanis says. So scene 4 takes us for the first time to the dollar store parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
We see once again the Skids and Glenn facing off for primacy.
Still in trying that domain, to get that. Yeah.
Right? And they resolve that they're going to each trade into the other's reality.
Yeah.
For the day. To decide where ultimately they will stand.
Yeah. Which is a creative way to solve a problem. Let's just switch viewpoints for a day and see what happens. Yeah. And if we fully embrace it, then who knows what the outcome will be.
Right.
So I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and soon enough we'll see the outcome of that. Before we get there, though, we go to the reservation where Tanis is putting her cookout together. We've got all the Hicks there, and this first scene. So it's the hockey boys and the Hicks, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And the only thing that really stood out this scene for me was it's clearly the first of many actual scenes that follow. Where you see the men critiquing Tanis's cooking style and doing so not directly, but this sort of indirect style where they allude to something that stands out to them,
right,
whether
yeah.
it's, you know, putting the chicken next to the vegetables or what have you. And then they end with or. Yeah, this right. idea. Yeah.
Are you going to keep that up at 500 or.
Right. Because, right. and it clear. To me, at least, that they don't want to confront her. It's a form of passive aggression.
Yeah.
They're incapable of contradicting her directly, but they feel compelled, nevertheless, to do so on a minor level, at least.
Yeah.
So they find these other ways, more surreptitious ways, to sort of prod and push. And it's cute because it's all men doing so, clearly, presumably out of their depth because...
Right.
She has already established that she's
the grill master.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's, and we do see this in other episodes, episode with Wayne and her later. But, you know, she's very clear that she knows what she's doing at the grill.
Mm-hmm.
But the men around her have lots of questions, which I take as, and I guess this is essentially what you were saying, it's just that I think men, you know, assume, especially when it comes to grilling, that this is like the man's domain, and Tanis is like, you can shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Let Auntie Tanis cook.
Right.
So,
yeah. This episode also then introduces another word diatribe. This time the word is squirt.
Yeah.
Someone I can't remember who registers their reservations about that word.
I can't remember either.
And it precipitates another round of that. Did anyone stand out on that?
No, I didn't write down any. So, I mean, it's funny.
Yeah, it's to be enjoyed in the moment. Nothing to really necessarily be recited upon. But.
I mean, it calls what's particularly good about these vernacular explorations that they're doing is that it calls upon all of these references to popular culture and different aspects of it. So it's sports, it's music,
mm-hmm.
it's... celebrity, it's, you know, it's, and so, and they sort of go like group by group. At one point, and they're doing moist, they're doing like places, right? So they have them like themed, and so it's written very well. It's not just an off the cuff, let's see how many pens we can come up with. It's more like, okay, in this category of you know popular culture or society, how many puns can you get out?
Yeah.
So it's organized very well.
Yeah, there's themes within within the overall theme, right? So that is scene five. Scene six takes us back to the dollar store, and now we see Glenn dressed as a skid with the bowler hat and the black bib overalls.
Yep.
And the skid's all dressed as Glenn had his khaki pants and white shirt.
Mm-hmm. And glasses.
And glasses.
And hair pulled back. They all their hair pulled back.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, Stewart's is down. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and Glenn is giving them a tutorial on preaching the gospel.
The three steps of preaching.
Yes, and he takes them bit by bit. At one point, after the initial one, Roald's response is, that's kind of mean.
Right. And Stuart says, enticing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's step one, guilt blasting.
Mm-hmm, that's the one he thinks is kind of mean.
Yeah, that's the one that Roald says, that's kind of mean. Step two is guilt blasting through prayer. So Glenn says, you need to dig a little deeper, just turn everything up to 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that one, Stewart says, is bewitching. And then step three is just the collection plate, pass around the collection plate and, you know, collect money. And Stewart says, wondrous.
His catchphrase, yeah.
Yeah. So I can't help but wonder that Stewart sees that there's a bit of... opportunity to take advantage of people and perhaps even get some money if you, you know, use these tactics when, you know, dealing with a crowd.
Yeah, don't ever, I don't think that ever comes to fruition, at least not so
far. No, not so far, yeah.
But, yeah, you wonder, nevertheless. Mm-hmm. They, in turn, the Skids, then show Glenn their three-step process.
Which much is, simpler.
Yeah, which is basically take the drugs, mm-hmm. press play mm-hmm. on the music machine, and dance.
And dance.
Okay?
Dance, buddy, dance. Yeah.
Yeah. From there, we cut back to the reservation. Mm-hmm. You see another example of men telling women how to cook. This time, it's Axe and Slash doing it with the women.
Yeah, with Shyla and Shania.
Who have set up shop adjacent to Tanaya and the Hicks. Doing basically the same. They doing the same thing to their women as previously was being done to Tanis by then.
And Shyla and Shania don't like it either.
Yeah, they register their reservations.
Right,
yeah.
They say that's enough. Yeah. Which she they tell Slash and Axe to shut up. Tanis says, you don't talk to them that way. And then that, you know, that gives her an opening to talk shit directly to Shyla and Shania.
Right.
And then we get, in that conversation, the word clammy comes up.
Right.
So we get one more.
Another round.
Another round of the puns with the word clammy.
Right.
Being Sammy clammy. Clammy. Nope. I was going to try and do one and I can't.
There was one was chlamydia. That seems
that's like a little on the nose.
Yeah, a little on the nose. A little low-hanging fruit. But, mm-hmm. you know, nevertheless. It fits the bill. Scene 8 takes us back to the dollar store. The Skids are now practicing their preaching. Glenn is practicing his dancing.
Right? It's
all of this is simultaneous and going on.
Yeah, it's a...
Uh-huh. Crossing of the streams. Yeah. And then the Skids start dancing again. Yeah. And Glenn is preaching at some point.
And it looks like everybody must be high.
Right. And, at least having a good time. Yeah. But certainly, it's not high. Mm-hmm. Back to the res for scene 9. Hockey boys take their point to Katie Cat.
Yeah.
The point that was initially introduced when they were at the gym with Ron and Dax. And the point is that they both want to date her once again. They don't want to do it apart.
We have to be a team.
They're a team. They've realized from that whole cajoling from the Ron and Dax that, but Katie turns it around and says, in fact, that she doesn't want to date either of them.
Yeah, it's just not the right time.
Things have passed. But then she spins it in a way that gives them some sort of hope.
Yeah.
That they're now free to get out there and do their thing.
Big city slams.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, say it.
Yeah. And
we'll snipe Sally boys.
Yeah, there you go. Then they, the word yeast becomes the focal point in this scene.
Right, because we realize what the lead up to that is that the boy, Axe and Slash, can't eat the food that Shyla and Shania have cooked. They don't like it. And so this is another entry point for Tanis to talk shit directly to Shyla and Shania.
Right.
She says the word yeast. Shyla and Shania, or one of them, doesn't like the word yeast. So we get another round.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. Did they say the Yeasty Boys? It seems like that was...
Yes, I remember hearing the Yeasty Boys.
Right,
you have to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Back to the dollar store for scene 10, at which point we learn that they're running out of drugs and the Skids are running out of their energy, so they're looking for the drugs. They ask Glenn if he had any left. He says, "Yeah, I got all the ones he originally gave me," because he apparently had not taken any of them.
Nope.
Even though it appeared as such as he had.
Exactly, and that's what's and it's the glory of God, or however he words it.
The power of Christ compels me.
How did I forget that phrase? Mm-hmm. And it seems like that's the thing that impresses Stuart the most.
Right.
And he says, okay, we're going to split the lot.
We can split the lot.
Yeah. Right?
We can each have part of it and go forth in that way. So, yeah, resolution there.
Yeah, see, it worked. Right? They're creative problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, back to the res for the final scene, scene 11. Mm-hmm. We've got Moist gets reintroduced as a point of objection. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, the boys still have a lot of material, evidently, to go upon.
Yeah, a lot of material for Moist.
Right? Yeah. And maybe, you know, after that first recitation on it, maybe they... Oh, I wish I'd used this one.
I'd
like to think that's what they were eventually were going through. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So they've got Connor Moist Greger, Floyd Moist Weather,
Moisture Cars. All of the top of their class.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do a car section.
Car section. Yeah, moist Sadies.
Moist Sadies Benz.
Not Moist Tsubishis. Yeah, some of them are labored. Some of them, let's be clear, some are quite labored.
I mean, I can't do any of it. That's a real trick of the tongue that I don't quite have.
Yeah.
So.
And then immediately after that, then up rolls a whole crew of D-gens.
Yeah.
That includes characters we previously met. Rat-ass.
Sled Ted
was way back in, I think, episode 2.
Yeah, that's
season.
Yeah,
that where Wayne made his progression back to becoming the toughest man in Letterkenny.
Yeah, exactly.
He beat those guys up, and Jive and Pete. Previous season when they beat him up.
Yeah,
he's amongst them. But so also is the big ogre-looking fellow.
Yeah.
that initially encountered the Shania and Shyla in the Modine's 2 parking lot. He's with them. And precipitates a Donnybrook.
Yes, a hell of a Donnybrook.
Yeah, but not before Katie refers to them as the D-Gen All-Stars. And then she makes the observation, their organization is baffling. Which I appreciate.
Yeah, I like it. I like that she considers them an organization and notes that everything is very strange. As the Donnybrook is getting started, I was very happy to see, well, towards the end, that the ogre, who says his name, like Alistair or something, incongruous name for who he is as a D-gen.
Right.
But I was very glad to see him get his ass kicked, because we saw him at, I believe it was Gail's birthday party. He started a fight. He came in and started a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the gym a few episodes ago, two episodes ago, or maybe last one, he called Dax and Ron the F word.
Yeah.
And then at the beginning of this episode, he calls Shyla and Shania, one of them, a bitch. Mm-hmm. So this is a man who needs his ass kicked. And I'm very happy to see him get that.
Finally,
yes.
Get his comeuppance.
Yes, get his comeuppance at the hands of Wayne.
Right.
Yeah.
Or more properly, from Derry, who hits him over the head with
actually,
a beer bottle.
Yeah, it was Derry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from behind with a beer bottle.
Yeah. Classic clue scenario.
Yes.
In their field, in the reservation, with a beer bottle from behind.
We could start a Letterkenny themed clue.
Yeah, it's kind of a mustard. In the conservatory with a candlestick.
Yes.
So quite a Donnybrook. As per usual, the Hicks get the best of it.
Yeah.
Take down the D-gens. And the Axe and Slash come back to the fold.
Yes, they are back to
partake of their
aunties.
Her food. And then the episode concludes with another recitation on a final word. This time it is...
Veg.
Which Wayne is the one who...
Yeah, he's the one who doesn't like it.
You know, states his reservations about that. But ultimately joins in when they give a salute to the Vegiment.
Yeah. And then they have a huge beer...
Beer soaking.
Yes, beer soaking battle.
Right. Yeah. So, right? Another fun episode.
Yeah.
Lots of great wordplay. Lots of creativity.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. You know, not a dramatic plot development, but...
No, but fun times with our characters that we love,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's enough.
Yeah. So what else stood out to you that we didn't get to talk about, or...
What else was there to point out? Can't say that they didn't refer to it. Ron and Dax didn't. They previously talked about the Billet brothers, and then we talked about the Billet sisters in previous episodes, because that's and that whole idea of billeting somebody, right? That's
right.
I think we maybe even mentioned it early on.
Yeah, but give a brief so that in case.
Well, my understanding is that in these junior hockey leagues and stuff, that these players around Canada go off and end up on these clubs that aren't necessarily near to where they're raised.
Yeah.
So they end up, you know, taking up residence or billeting, you know, in the mm-hmm. military sense of the term, with families.
I didn't realize that was a military word. Billeting, that makes sense.
To billet somebody is to, you know, put them up or to give them residence.
And okay.
So you would take, your billet family would be the people to take care of you.
Right.
You know, foster family or... what do we call that when you go to Europe or something?
Yeah, the shit.
Yeah.
International right. students. The nope, that's a different thing. Oh my god, I should know this.
Yeah.
You come for a semester. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be here. God. Somebody right now is screaming into their phone.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah,
that's good. That's why this is interactive.
Yeah, it's an interactive podcast.
Maybe we'll hear you. No.
Yes.
that same phenomena is what they and so these. So they end up having
host family.
Yeah, host family. So they have billet families in Canada around these hockey teams and these hockey leagues. And so what's curious is, although they didn't refer to it directly in this episode, Ronnie and Daxie had done it before, calling them their billet bros.
Right.
And we made reference to this whole idea of them inverting and subverting the whole language of the male dominator or the heterosexual dominated discourse of chirping or mm-hmm. catcalling, and how they had, you know, just inverted it directly. We had not fully referred to that specific term.
Yeah.
And them turning it around to be billet brothers and how they had.
And I like the idea that perhaps there are lots of billet brothers out there mm-hmm. who have until this moment gone unnoticed and now you've got mm-hmm. you know, hopefully guys going, yes, I was a billet brother, right? Yeah. You know, pulled down some fine hockey ass when that boy was staying with me, right?
Yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as they say.
That is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I don't know? What's the fucking gander?
Gander is a term for a male, a member of the geese species.
Oh, that's what that means?
Mm-hmm. It's good for the goose.
The female.
Is good for the gander.
The male.
So it directly applies in this case.
It does.
Right? And especially applies because we just one episode removed from talking about the Canada gooses.
That's right. Canada mm-hmm. gooses. Canada deuces.
Canada ganders.
Canada.
It's good for the Canada gooses is good for the Canada ganders.
I like that.
Sure.
Well, I liked something we didn't talk about as we were synthesizing. Was also a Dax and Ron, Daxie and Ronnie. I like that you incorporated their terms. When they were talking with Jonesy and Riley about, Jonesy and Riley said, well, what should we call you? Do we call you our gay gym friends? I think is what they say. And then that leads Dax and Ron into this whole conversation about the terms and it's such a great, it goes, go ahead.
Well, so the terms are how gay people are referred to, gay men specifically.
Yes, yeah.
But it's also, their discussion of it is also then inflected with hockey terminology.
Yes.
As if how those terms were accepted or denied. So they're denied according to the logic of hockey rosters.
Right, exactly. So the League of Gay Men, yeah, a.k.a. League of National Hockeys. Yeah.
So specifically at one point, yeah, Riley says, our gay buddies from the gym. And yeah. Dak says, we took gay in the expansion draft from you 100 years back. Jonesy says, Butch. Ron says, shout out to our sisters in the women's league. Riley says, Fruit. Dak says, Fruit had a cup of coffee in the show a couple few decades back, but never really produced for either of us. Jonesy, Bear. You guys released, Ron says, you guys released Bear a while back for underperforming, and we got her in at a friendly price. Even a real, it's been a real stud for us ever since. Riley, on and on it goes.
Yeah, and that's, Andrew, Cub, I love.
Poofter, Nelly, Homo, Queen, the F word.
Yeah.
To which, when they say it, Ron and Daxie say it, because Jonesy and Riley are too...
Yeah, they're not going to say it.
They're too PC.
Yeah.
But then Jonesy says, not sure that's PC, but you said it.
Yeah. Which is a great running joke, right? Yeah, that those two are...
Yeah.
They try really hard to be PC, right?
Yeah, they're millennials.
Yeah, they are. They're progressive young men.
They try hard. They try hard enough.
I mean. But I love that it's almost like a tutorial for... Mm-hmm. For somebody who's not sure what terms to use,
right?
Except that it's also buried in this hockey terminology. And so it's a tutorial for someone who really understands hockey and is unsure of what to call their friends who are gay, right? And so it like runs you through all of it. But they end with...
Queen?
No, they end with just...
Oh, yeah.
Call us Daxie and
Ron. Oh, yeah, that's what they
Yeah, Queen was, they said for some.
Queen is, it's the best arena music of all time, but still it's only for some.
It's only for some,
yeah. That's good. Yeah, but then they end with, you call me Dax, you can call me Ron.
Yeah. And I like that, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's really what anybody who is, a part of a population that has been marginalized in some way or another, I don't want to only be identified as a part of that group.
Right.
I am me. Call me by my name.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and do me the same honor and whatever that you give anybody else.
Yeah.
Any other
honor, respect, see me for who I am in my authentic self.
Yeah.
And say my name.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this really poignant moment, except it's also like just layered in these funny elements
and it's kind of buried and it's not and it's certainly not dwelled upon. That's the beauty of being able to reflect upon this stuff and break it down.
Yeah.
So where other people might say this over analysis, I'd say it's perfect analysis.
Yeah.
So, get to that heart of that, and you're right to notice it is quite poignant and a very important statement being embedded in this very silly program.
Yeah,
predicated on a lot of great silliness.
Yeah, because as soon as they say that, then they turn around and they're chirping at Joint Boy and Tyson,
right? Yeah.
So there's no poignancy to the moment in the show, but when you look back at it, you go,
there's some gravitas there.
Yeah,
is belied by the whole context, but ultimately is still there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. Jonesy says homo, and Ron says homo maybe in your ring of honor, but never forget the body checks of our goons threw down to end that career.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that one a lot, right? Yeah. Because that's a really don't forget what we went through to not have to answer to that term anymore.
And employing the hockey terminology
to
get that point across.
It's so fucking smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that repartee, that whole round, seemed to me to stand out amongst a lot of good efforts in this whole episode, but in the series as a whole. But just stood out for its power.
And definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right. Well, onward we go, I guess. Unless there's any further recitation.
No, let's wrap her up.
Yeah.
And this has been fun. So this was season 4, episode 3, Way to a Man's Heart.
Yes.
And we'll see you soon with season 4, episode 4.
Indeed.
Whatever that title is.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye.